Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mini Crush. Take two.
Screw you, Chuck.
Oh, no. Is that this week's
subtitle? How the tables have turned.
Now I'm screwed.
I know.
I'm the pooch.
Oh, you are the pooch. You are always the pooch, Chuck.
Noel, do you like foreign films?
Foreign films? Foreign language films?
Yes.
International films?
Mm-hmm.
No.
That's not true.
Yeah, I do. I do very much, yeah.
Okay. Because we don't talk enough about foreign films on this show. And I asked the movie crushers what their favorite foreign film was. We got 342 replies. So I'm going to leave this one up, everyone, because this will serve as a great reference point if you're not into foreign films, or if you are, to go back and see what people are watching. James Trail says Wings of Desire. You ever seen that one?
I love it.
Great movie.
That is Wim Wenders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really good. Oldest of Friends, Carolyn Gaston. One of my favorite crushers says, are we only counting foreign language or simply movies from another country? Well, I generally think of foreign films as foreign language. Would you agree, Noel?
That's the thing. Are we talking about the debate now in the Academy?
Yeah, like, I mean, if a movie is made in Canada, it's not a foreign film.
Right, but that's the point. It was Caron did that speech because he won the Oscar for Roma, and he made a joke about how I grew up watching foreign language films like Jaws
and
The Godfather. And
well, I'm sure some of our international friends will name American films because those are foreign films.
No, that's exactly true. But he's pointing out that it's all about perspective, I guess.
Sure.
And so I think they've renamed the category Best International Film instead of Best Foreign Language Film.
Oh, they have?
They have. That was on NPR this very morning.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Look at you,
mm-hmm.
The scoop. So Carolyn says, she says, for non-English, Kimi no Na wa. Don't know that movie.
Mm. Say again?
Kimi no Na wa.
Oh, that's a movie. I thought that was the person's name.
No.
Kimi no Na wa. Let me look it up real quick.
Your Name. It must be the translation.
Haven't heard of it. It's an anime film.
All right.
It's wonderful.
Great.
I saw it in the theaters. It's fabulous.
Maren Bergensen says, The Three Colors trilogy. Yeah. I haven't watched them since film school, she said, but it resonated. I agree. 1,000%. Did you see those, Red, White, and Blue?
I haven't seen all of them.
I think I remember liking Red. Oh, actually, which one did I like the most? Red? I think I liked Red the most.
Mm.
It's been a while, though. I was in those early days when I was going to the Angelica to see those movies in New York City.
Is that Juliette Binoche?
No, I think.
What? She's not in any of them?
Well, yeah, she may be in one of them. I was thinking of from Before Sunrise. What's her name? One of my favorites.
That's Julie Delpy.
Yeah, Julie Delpy was in one of those.
Pretty sure Juliette Binoche was in at least one of them.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Don't do that.
What?
All right. Screw you.
Oh, gosh. Chuck.
Jimmy Kuykendall, one of our old friends, says Amelie Noel. Beautiful
Love
film.
It.
One
Love
of my
it.
Favorite soundtracks.
Love it. It's like all. It's all melodica. It just sounds like a little Frenchman with an accordion.
It's good.
It's so good. The Marc Caron and
Junot and Caron.
Junot and Caron.
Yeah.
Was that them together for like the last time, I want to say?
I think so.
And then they sort of split.
I think so.
And then did their own stuff.
Yeah. The movie I always loved by them was called City of Lost Children.
Wonderful movie.
It was a good movie.
Wonderful movie. Delicatessen's very great.
Oh,
too.
Delicatessen was fantastic. Mm-hmm. What a weird, awesome movie. Keddie Bredemeyer. Never heard that name before. Keddy.
I like it.
I love the French thriller Crimson Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that with Jean Vanneau and Vincent Cassel.
I love Vincent Cassel.
It's a good movie, man. Genevieve Flynn says a tie between Pan's Labyrinth from Spain and Crazy from Quebec.
Crazy.
Crazy, but it's
spelt. It's got little dashes.
It's got, no, not dashes, but periods.
Uh-huh. So it's an acronym.
It's an well, maybe.
That's what the periods.
It would lead you to believe so.
It would.
I still haven't seen Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, what? It's so good. It's good. It's very sad. It's good.
Kristen Satterley Pomazel says, Roma, such a beautiful film. Certainly.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you never saw Roma? Mm-mm. Interesting. Cinema Paradiso, that's Jason DeLong. Such an incredible love letter on so many levels. Mark Colbinson says, The Eyes of My Mother, Italian horror, amazing.
Oh, yeah, I've read about that. I haven't seen it, though.
Stacey Nye says, The Man from Nowhere, an amazing Korean film.
I've seen that.
Korea's putting out a lot of good stuff.
Korea's been putting out a lot of stuff, good stuff for a long time now, since, like, Old Boy and all that. I mean, even before. I've seen the Man from Nowhere. It's like there's a kid in it. It involves him kind of rescuing this kid from, like, a street kid, kind of.
Yeah.
He's got, like, this badass assassin dude. It's good.
Noah Hubbard, old friend, says, Impossible to answer. Kurosawa's films will always have a special place. This time of year, my mind turns to the Christmas classic City of Lost Children. It's funny.
It does have Christmas themes in it. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm.
And it's got Tom Waits. The bats are in the belfry.
Wait, he's in that?
He sings the song.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You're innocent when you dream.
Yeah.
We haven't sung in a while, Noel.
He's a fine actor, Tom Waits.
No, he's the best. I love Tom Waits.
Did you see Dead Don't Die? The Dead Don't Die?
Have not seen it.
Didn't care for it.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. Yeah. A little too self-aware in kind of an annoying way. I'm interested to hear your thoughts. I watched it on the plane, and I kind of drifted, and I tuned out after a while.
Man, I want Jim Jarmusch to sort of go back to his roots a bit.
Did you see the vampire one with Tilda Swinton?
No, I heard that was pretty good,
It was pretty good, too. I haven't seen it.
I mean, Jim Jarmusch is going to do Jim Jarmusch however he wants to do Jim Jarmusch.
Yeah, or he's just going to
tell him what to do.
He's just going to not do it or just do whatever he wants.
He does what the fuck he wants to do, Noel. Yep, that's why sure I love does. Him. But Jim, if you're listening, I'd like to see you go back to your roots. Jenna Van Valen, one of my faves. Great Halloween costume too, Jenna. Train to Busan is a strong contender.
It's very good.
Have not seen that. No, you've seen more than me, I think.
Zombie film on a train. Really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. Zombie on a train.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's a zombie apocalypse situation where folks are on a train between stations trying to escape, you know, because the clear zone is at this other station.
Gotcha.
And then if they can only get there, then they'll be okay.
And I take it they're in a situation where getting off the train is dangerous.
Very dangerous. And zombies are infiltrating the train. People are being turned into zombies on the train.
That sounds awesome.
It's really good. It reminded me of Snowpiercer a lot in that it was like a kind of a bottle movie, you know?
I love Snowpiercer.
It's really, really good. Train to Busan, kick-ass movie.
I'm gonna write that down on my list. Noel, are people following you on Letterboxd yet?
A couple people. I haven't put anything on there yet.
Throw out your name again. What is it?
How Now Noel Brown.
How Now
Noel Brown.
Brown.
Which is also my Instagram handle.
All one word.
Mm-hmm.
Noel Brown.
I'm going to log on to my account right now.
Greta Koenig says, Il Postino. Saw it in high school. Really enjoyed it. Interesting. I never saw Il Postino for some reason. Elisa Edwards, Once Were Warriors. Yeah, that's a great one. About the Maori in New Zealand. That was another early 90s treat, if I remember correctly. Melanie Stein says, He Loves Me, He Loves Me Not, with Audrey Tautou. Followed very closely by La Dolce Vita. Yeah, La Dolce Vita is a great one. What a classic. Zach Pointer, old friend, says, My Neighbor Totoro. Have you seen it yet, Chuck? I have not. Have you seen that, Noel?
Which one?
My Neighbor Totoro.
Totoro. Yeah, he's a big cat guy. It's a Miyazaki film, classic,
right.
Animated.
And you love it, right?
I loved it. Yeah, it's delightful. Miyazaki can do no wrong in my eyes.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Jen McGillivray says, I adore Triplets of Belleville. Bizarre French animated film about a cyclist who gets kidnapped by the mob and the old grannies that go to save him.
One of my favorite animated movies of all time.
Triplets of Belleville?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know the movie. I have not seen it.
It's got a really kooky soundtrack that uses a lot of like vacuum cleaner noises and like the sound of bicycle wheels. It's very vaudeville French kind of sounding stuff. Very little dialogue. There's the same guy went on and did a movie called The Illusionist, but not The Illusionist, the magician one. This is about Jacques Tati, and he plays an illusionist character, and it's also animated, and it's also delightful.
Louis Silva says, House of Flying Daggers. Asian cinema is at a whole other level. or as we say in the South, a whole nother level. Megan Broyles, Priscilla Queen of the Desert. Sure, that's Australian. That's foreign, if you're in America. Sammy Delco says Silk. Awesomely creepy Taiwan film from Taiwan. Ghost horror film. Silk. Parasite. Haven't seen Parasite yet. Did you see it?
Can't wait. I'm going to see it tomorrow with Matt and Alex.
Art Riddle.
You should come with us. You want to come?
Noel, you've never invited me to your movie parties.
That's what I'm doing. We haven't really done it before, but I would love for you to come.
You've never been to a movie with anyone at work? Liar.
I've been with Casey a few times, but not a ton. But we're going to go tomorrow at 7:30.
Tomorrow at 7:30. What's today? Wednesday? Mm-hmm. It's 7:30. I'm looking at my calendar. Well, maybe I'll join you, Noel.
I would love that.
Maybe other people can go back in time and join us.
Yes. Did you say you've seen Jojo Rabbit?
Nah, it's not here yet, is it?
Nah, I don't think so. I'm excited for it. A friend of mine saw it in New York and said it was great.
I can't wait. David Mills, 100% Run Lola Run. I've seen it at least 39 times. Wow. David, you should see it one more time and get it even 40.
Agreed.
That's my advice.
You love that movie, right, Chuck?
That was great.
It's fun.
Fantastic. All right, we'll do one more here. Matthew Jones says, Maria Full of Grace. Do you know that movie?
I do not.
I have heard of it. Boy, there's a lot of good recommendations here, people. If you want to get some foreign film recs, go check it out on the page. All right, Noel, we're at tagline time.
Yeah.
The thing you've been waiting for a whole week to talk about.
I'm ready.
For really 20 minutes. So tagline, everyone, is that little short sentence on the movie poster. I listed Royal Tannenbaum's as one of my favorites. Family isn't a word. It's a sentence. Another one of my old favorites, Noel, is from Alien, the original Alien. You remember that one?
Is it like in space, no one can hear you scream?
That's it, man. I mean, that was that egg and that tagline on the poster, so iconic.
That's a tagline that has really stuck around in the lexicon, in the zeitgeist kind of too. You know?
I think so.
People say that like almost as a joke.
Yeah, one of the legendary taglines. Uh-huh.
Because what we were saying last episode, I think when I was confused and thought we were going to do this segment, is I'm fascinated by taglines because they sort of come and go. Mm. Like if you don't remember them in the moment, then it may just completely go out of your memory because it's not something that sticks around with
the
movie.
And I think a lot of people aren't even aware of them. I think some people really get into like reading them on the poster, but some people might not even acknowledge them. Austin R. Debsky says, Jaws 2 will always have the best tagline to me. Just when you thought it was safe to go back into the water. Not bad. Lisa Teixeira, one of our oldest of friends for Spinal Tap, does for rock and roll what The Sound of Music did for Hills. That's pretty funny. Suspiria. This is from Anthony Knorr. Suspiria's got a great one, Noel. The only thing more terrifying than the last 12 minutes of this film are the first 92. I remember seeing that.
That is a very bold claim.
That's amazing. What We Do in the Shadows. Some interviews with some vampires.
That's funny.
Not bad. Buckaroo Banzai, Across the Eighth Dimension. This is from Michael Reed. He says, wherever you go, there you are. Not bad.
What's that for?
Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh, I'm sorry. Across the Eighth Dimension is a subtitle for that movie?
The full title is The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension.
Got it. I've never seen that.
It's good.
Is it fun?
It's classic. Of course.
Got it.
Do you have a favorite tagline, Noel?
That's why I was fascinated. I want to hear them because I don't really recall too many, if any.
Kristen Bitsagai says, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. This is a good one. One man struggle to take it easy. That's funny. See what they did there, Noel?
Because it shouldn't be a struggle to take it easy.
Exactly. That's what makes it a great tagline.
I agree.
Greta Koenig says, they'll get you in the end. That is from Ghoulies. And in the movie poster, one of the ghoulies comes out of the toilet. Get it?
In the butt.
Yeah. Get you in the end.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, this is great. Debbie Frangadakis, Edward Scissorhands. His story will touch you even though he can't. These are great. Brian Bissell says the original Black Christmas, which we were just talking about, says this. If this movie doesn't make your skin crawl, It's on too tight.
Is this a Silence of the Lambs situation? No.
Well, I mean, Brian says, what the hell does that even mean? I mean, I think that's what it means.
Wait, is this like Texas Chainsaw Man? What is this? Did you already say the movie?
Yes,
what
Black is Christmas. It? You're not paying attention.
Oh, Black. I'm sorry, Chuck. I'm sorry. I've not seen Black Christmas. I've been researching it recently because, was it because of this show? Did we talk about Black Christmas? We did.
We did.
And there were some famous people in it. Margot Kidder was
that's
in it, right.
Right?
Yeah, that's why I was researching it. It looks like a fun movie. On Too Tight. Does that mean you're too uptight? Loosen up? Square?
I don't know.
You know?
I don't know.
I think that must be what it is.
Jarhead from Zach Pointer, that movie, had the tagline, Welcome to the Suck.
And then it turned out it wasn't a great movie.
I thought Jarhead was good.
I'm kidding. I haven't seen it. But that's, what is the suck?
Well, I mean,
is that a thing in the movie?
The suck was just being in that platoon at war, in war.
Got it.
I think. Matthias Larson, this is from Night of the Creeps. The good news is your dates are here. The bad news is they're dead. Interesting. Gladiators, and this is from David Frey, is what we do in life echoes in eternity. A little heavy-handed. Not bad, though. Ian Lyons from RoboCop. Part man, part machine, all cop.
All cop.
That's a good one. Hereditary, Noel. This is from Trevor Halperin. Do you remember this one?
Something to do with family.
Every family tree hides a secret. That's a little on the nose.
That's super on the nose. They could have done better.
Yeah, like to me, a good tagline has just a little clever to it and not too much. And that's not clever enough, in my opinion. The Thing from Jeff Noel. See, this is a great one. Man is the warmest place to hide. You like that one?
Yes, because it's like a incubator situation.
No, I mean, that's what happens in the movie.
Yeah.
Man is the warmest place to hide. Did not get the movie title on this one, so maybe we can guess. From Rob Dickinson, An Adventure 65 Million Years in the Making.
It's Jurassic Park.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
That's not a bad tag.
No, it's cute.
We'll see if you can guess this one, Noel,
all
from
right.
Breonna Taylor.
Okay.
Mischief, Mayhem, Soap.
It's Fight Club.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, now we're flipping the script. Now it's a game.
It's always fun to make it a game.
Oldest friend Rebecca Robe says Hot Fuzz. Sorry. I screwed the game up already.
It's okay.
Big cops, small town, moderate violence.
That's cute.
Oh, that's pretty good. All right, here we go, Noel.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you the movie.
Okay, all right.
Shannon says this. If at first you don't succeed, lower your standards.
I'm thinking it's some kind of rom-com.
Not really. That's tough because it could be a lot of movies. That's Tommy Boy.
Oh, yeah. I like Tommy Boy. Fat guy in a little coat.
Never saw it.
Mm-hmm. Classic scene. He puts on David Spade's coat and goes, fat guy in a little coat. And then he rips it.
This was always, even though I have my issues with this filmmaker, Lisette Kiel says this one. Just because they serve you doesn't mean they like you. That's a great tag.
Is it an Oliver Stone movie?
No.
I'm trying to think of filmmakers you have issues with.
Oh.
I don't know.
It's Clerks.
Clerks.
The original Clerks.
Yeah.
Which I actually liked for
what
it was.
It's a fun movie.
Gail Kuntz, our old friend, The Danger Oven, says this. Her life was in their hands. Now her toe is in the mail.
Yeah, that's a big Lebowski right there.
Yeah, that's good. That is a really good one. Sarah Stapleton, want to shout you out for the alien ref in space. No one can hear you scream. This is from J.J. Verbino, and this is from the movie Heathers. Fuck them if they can't take a joke. I don't know if that was on the movie poster.
They wouldn't print that.
Yeah, I think that was not the tagline.
Should have been. No, it's fuck me gently with a chainsaw. It's another good one.
Yeah, that wouldn't be on the poster either.
Don't think so.
Noel, you been streaming anything? Let's finish up with some stream this. And some comment card questions.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been watching lately?
The Watchmen. Been watching The Watchmen.
How many episodes are out?
Three.
Have you seen all three?
No, I've seen the first two.
I have seen the first one and liked it.
Yeah.
Was episode two a letdown, or was it
just
as good?
No, it's good. It opens up the world a little more. They're gradually opening up the world.
Okay.
And if you're familiar with the characters, it's a fun because it's a flip. It's like a later situation where it's like, you know, the events of Watchmen, the comic, have taken place, and this is like sometime in the future, and history has changed, and there's this, like, you know, terrorist cult that's based on Rorschach, who is sort of like the anti-hero in the comics or whatever.
Yeah, it's great.
But it involves racism.
I love seeing all
those Rorschachs. Yeah, it involves racism. It involves, like, you know, white supremacy, and it's an interesting use of that world, and I'm intrigued.
Totally.
I'm intrigued. Like, I don't know what's going to happen next, and
totally,
I really, really dig it.
Totally agree, dude. I thought it was great. Can't wait to see more of it. I'm on my own with this one because I don't think Emily's into it, so I'm going to have to squirrel it away. But, yeah, I thought when I was a little worried because I loved the graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the movie and was just wondering, like, what are they going to do here? But I think you're right. They did the perfect thing, which was not try and make it the movie or the book and just use that world because it's a cool world.
It is a cool world.
And I'm sure we'll see some of our old favorite characters appear here and there, right?
Yeah. By the time 3 happens, zero spoilers here, it really starts to open up and you start to experience more of those sci-fi touches, whereas the first two mm-hmm. are a little less so, or a little more grounded in like a gritty kind of depressing reality. It's really fun. I'm into it.
And but I mean the characters, like, are we going to see Ozymandias? Are we going to see?
We've already seen him.
Oh, well, not in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I just don't know it's him.
Oh, well, geez, there's a spoiler.
It's not a spoiler. if you read the cast, the name of the cast, you'd know.
Oh, Noel. Now I can't watch it anymore.
Yes, you can. You're going to be like, who
ruined.
Is it? It's not ruined. It's going to be more intriguing.
It's ruined. You know they shot that here in Atlanta.
I know so many people that worked on it, like set dressers and like, yeah.
Me too.
There's a whole scene where it's downtown Decatur where you see the Iberian pig. They didn't even cover it up.
Yeah.
It's great. And there's like a big weird sci-fi orb thing that's clearly CGI'd into downtown Decatur. It made me really happy.
So did you – I have some friends on it too. Did they give you any scoop? Because I got a little scoop and I'm wondering if you got the same scoop.
I didn't get scoop, but the only scoop that I got was how different from the comic it was.
Oh, because
they were naming characters – and I'm like, that's not in the comic. There's the character played by the guy that was in O Brother, Where Art Thou? And
Tim Blake Nelson.
Mm-hmm. He's the Looking Glass, I think. And mm-hmm. that's the name that they dropped, my friend. And I was like, there's no Looking Glass in the comic. So I kind of knew that
was
going to be.
I was curious if they said, because my friend had a very bad experience with a certain cast member. And I was wondering if you could corroborate.
You'll have to tell me off air.
All right, I'll tell you off air. Because I don't want to talk too much smack. But, yeah, apparently one of the cast people is not a nice, fun person.
I bet it's Don Johnson.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Why would you say that?
Just because he's, like, so old school and, I don't know, like...
Sure.
And he hasn't really done anything in a while and maybe he's, like, got a chip on his shoulder.
Oh, okay, interesting.
From being a TV star back in the day and a
sex
symbol.
Interesting take, Noel.
All right. Let's talk off. We'll talk off mic.
All right. I watched a movie the other night. Emily and I were looking for something that sort of doesn't tax the brain and is just sort of a fun movie. And we did a little Googling. And there was a movie that Paul Feig made last year that was very much under the radar called A Simple Favor. Did you see that?
No.
I had not even heard of it. And it's weird that Paul Feig can make a major motion picture with a major motion picture cast that just sort of flies under the radar. It was Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively were the stars of this film. And the guy, Henry from Crazy Rich Asians, the lead, Henry whatever his last name is.
I never saw that one.
It was good. I highly recommend it.
Did you watch it on a plane?
No. I watched it the other night, like I just said, with Emily.
You just watch a lot of rom-coms on planes, Chuck. I'm sorry.
It's not a rom-com.
Really?
No, it's not. It's a thriller.
I'm intrigued.
And there are a lot of great reveals and twists and turns. And I think Anna Kendrick is fantastic as an actor.
She's very good.
And she was really good in this.
Paul Feig is like the comedy guy, though, right? Doesn't he do?
Yeah, he did Freaks and Geeks and Bridesmaids.
He's the Ghostbusters reboot, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it's a good movie. It's highly recommended
okay.
by me, I think.
All right.
I'll go with a highly recommended.
I like that.
I'm not going to reveal too much. Blake Lively's in it, and you know how I feel about her. I'll watch anything that she's in. You know, she and Ryan Reynolds, they live in upstate New York. They just went, they got a farm.
Wonderful.
I love that. That says a lot about somebody.
It does.
You know, they don't need to be in Hollywood.
They can swoop in when they need to.
It's like Sandra Bullock and Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
Living out on their ranches in Texas.
Love that. I think Julia Roberts is in, like, New Mexico.
Yeah, I think
Santa
she is.
Fe.
You're right. I think Sandy cool. Bullock is, I think, outside of Austin.
Interesting.
If I'm not mistaken.
And Matthew McConaughey, too. He's an Austinite.
Sure. He's a Texas guy.
Yeah.
Michelle Johnson, we're going to finish up with some comment card, asks us this. What classic revered Christmas movie is overrated and you could do without? I don't know. Do you have one, Noel?
Christmas movies. I don't know. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't really flock to them in general.
A lot of them are kind of overrated.
That's what I'm saying.
And they're you watch them because it's Christmas.
Yeah. To me, the ones that I enjoy are the ones that are like Christmas is sort of an afterthought, or it's not. It's just sort of like a little part of – maybe there's a part of the story that takes place in Christmas.
But
like,
it's not a Christmas movie.
It's not
movie.
A Christmas movie. Like we mentioned City of Lost Children. I had completely forgotten there was a Christmas connection in that.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely not a Christmas movie. It goes back to that debate as to whether a Die Hard is a Christmas movie because it takes place during Christmas.
That old thing.
That old chestnut.
Surely that's not going to happen again this year, is it?
I would hope not.
Like, haven't we – beat that into the ground, people?
Yes.
I think we have. All right, this is from Matt Cliff. This is a, if you could interview anyone on Movie Crush, alive or dead, who would it be? And what movie would you want to discuss? Well, I don't know if I can answer the second part because the guest picks the movie, but boy, if I could interview anyone living or dead, it'd be hard not to go with like Philip Seymour Hoffman, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there are plenty of people that have passed on that would be great, but he's just one of those actors that I have so much reverence for.
Agreed.
Left us way too soon, and I bet would be a really good Movie Crush guest, would have been.
He seems like it. I mean, he seems like a real serious, seemed like a real serious guy. I don't know.
I think he's supposed to be a real sweetheart.
Okay.
Paul Thomas Anderson said that when he made Magnolia, because his character in Magnolia was just... He was the nurse, the home nurse,
right.
The hospice nurse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just a really good guy. He said he wrote that for Phil because he said that's the most Phil, like, true to his real personality. And he said, I always make him some weirdo like Scotty in Boogie Nights and Punch Drunk Love, the phone sex
He's the psycho
jerk.
Guy. Yeah.
And he was like, I always put him through all this shit. And he said, I wanted to make a movie where he was the most like himself. And he's like, that is who Philip Seymour Hoffman is.
Oh, that's lovely. I've never heard really that before. That's such a nice sentiment.
Yeah, it is. I miss him a lot.
I do too.
That was a tough one. Who would you have, Noel, if you were getting someone in here? Living or dead?
Yeah, I mean, I really love Spike Jonze, you know.
Sure,
he'd be great. He had such an interesting career trajectory, like from making skate videos to like making these super DIY kind of like very practical, weird illusion kind of like music videos, and then parlaying that into just being this powerhouse filmmaker and still not abandoning some of those cool DIY punk aesthetics that he always sort of got to start with. So he also just seems like a lovely, kind kind of person. I think he would have some really interesting things to say.
Yeah. I hope he is.
I do too.
But boy, now that I'm thinking about people alive, I mean, I have so many Movie Crush wish lists. Spike Lee, Julianne Moore. I've tried to get Laura Linney on this thing like 5 times because she shoots here in Atlanta. Ken Marino, of course, dream guest. There are a lot of people I would like to get on the show, but I don't know how to get them, everybody. It's very hard to get people on your show. Let me see here. Nikki Spaulding, do you have a comfort film you watch when you're really sad? I always like Wonder Boys. Mm-hmm. I don't know about when I'm sad, but if it's like a rainy day or I'm sick, Wonder Boys is always a good salve.
Yeah. I don't really watch films when I'm sad. Like
I don't either.
I watch TV series a lot of times. Like I really like King of the Hill. It's a very comforting show. I like The Office. It's a very comforting show to me.
I don't get sad.
You don't get sad? Oh, good for you, Chuck.
I mean, you know, if like I have ups and downs in life with my marriage, of course.
Yeah. The sad is an extreme.
If Emily and I are in a fight or something.
Yeah.
But I'm not like laying around sad. I think about sad as in like heartbroken and sort of that stuff.
That's right. I've been through an interesting period in the last couple of years, like with some, you know, ups and downs in relationships and looking for a thing and like kind of like thinking I found it and then realizing that it wasn't really the thing and being let down and disappointed. So I've definitely gone through that. But I've like really emerged on the other side of it, like with this whole new level of confidence and kind of like lease on life. So
good.
It's pretty nice. It's nice to like feel like things make sense. You know what I mean?
That's great. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think back when in my heartbroken days. I think I was more of a music guy. I would dive into music more than a movie.
I would agree with that.
And the saddest music. I was never like, oh, I need something to pick up my spirits. I would like to wallow in my sadness.
Sure.
If I was truly sad.
Sure, sure, sure.
And I think there can be a little value in that.
Yeah.
Obviously not talking about people with depression.
No. I'm a big fan of upbeat music with sad lyrical content, like The Cure, you know, or like the Delphonics, for example, like you know, Wall of Sound, kind of Phil Spector, like really lush, beautiful, upbeat sounding songs, but they're all about breakups and heartbreak and stuff like that, like lyrically. I enjoy that because it's a nice juxtaposition where you sort of feel uplifted and also wallowing at the same time.
True. Mm-hmm. It's hard to argue against the Smiths.
No, it's not.
For some good sad music.
Morrissey is canceled.
It was great.
That's the thing. It's the whole art from the artist discussion. Like, the Smiths, classically fantastic. Morrissey as an individual,
not
the
best. Oh, did
you
just say he was canceled?
Yes.
I refuse to even get into that whole thing.
I'm mainly kidding, but he's done some pretty gross things of late. Like, he supports a lot of weird right-wing political fringe groups in the UK that are anti-immigration and all that stuff. So, I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah, fair.
So anyway, I love the Smiths.
Me too.
That's what I was saying. Lisa Potts says, what is the absolute worst movie you have ever seen and why? Well, Lisa, there are different kinds of bad movies because certainly there can be a movie like Jupiter Ascending, which was so bad it was wonderful. And Scotty and I went and saw it in the theater because we knew it was going to be that. And we had the best time. But a really bad movie to me is a movie that's not trying to just have fun and is, you know, trying to be good and is not. And the only one that springs to mind is, I know I've talked about before, is Wicker Park. Did you see that stinker?
No. I think it was, it's not Harmony Korine, but it's like trying to be kids, kind of edgy.
No, not like, at all.
No?
It is a romantic thriller.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of a different one called Ken Park. Excuse me. Yeah. Wicker Park, I have not seen.
Josh Hartnett and Rose Byrne and Diane Kruger and Matthew Lillard.
Mm.
It was a remake of a French film. I'm interested to see that French film all of a sudden. I didn't know that it was based on that. But boy, Wicker Park was bad. Not good at all.
Not even worth checking out just to wallow in its awfulness?
No, because it's not like, oh, this is bad and fun and cheeky.
Yeah.
It's just like, oy, how could you make a movie this bad?
It's like kind of self-serious, like thinks it's being so clever and it's just annoyingly not.
I don't think it was being clever. It was just a bad movie.
Okay.
What, do you have one?
I don't know. Like the ones that I just despise, I tend to forget about. So I like bad movies that are fun bad. Like I love Mystery Science Theater and all that stuff and like The Room and all that, you know. But they do require a certain kind of attitude, right? Like you know, it's when you think that they're trying – nothing worse than trying too hard, right? There's nothing worse than a film that's trying too hard to be a thing and falling flat.
Mm-hmm.
I like it when they throw a lot of shit at the wall and see, and, you know, and it just ends up being this total smorgasbord of like, you know, unevenness and awfulness, but it's fun. But when a movie like really thinks it's like, oh, we've got this, you know,
right.
And it's just not. That's
too self-serious?
Too self-serious.
All right, everyone. Thanks for your questions. That's going to wrap it up for this week. And thanks for listening. And we will see you through our ear holes next week.
Goodbye. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.